Hello, Ghosts and Ghouls, and welcome to the Gospel of Ghosts, the podcast that aims to bring the narrative of ghosts to the forefront of their music. My name is Niall, and today, as you can see, is our season finale. So I had to think long and hard about how I wanted to approach the season finale of Gospel of Ghosts, especially with Opus Eponymous, because as you may have guessed, Genesis is a completely instrumental track. As someone who deals with analysing lyrics all the time, that left me in quite a bit of a pickle. So instead of a regular episode today, what we're going to do is focus more on the narrative part of the podcast that I talk about so much. I've prepared a little season recap for you all. It's not going to be me and my guests talking. It's not like an episode where it's just bits from old podcasts. I've prepared a season recap in a sort of atmospheric dramatic form, shall we say. All you guys that were hoping that I would be analyzing Genesis and Here Comes the Sun, I'd just like to say I apologize. It doesn't really fit into the storyline of the show because it wasn't something written by Ghost. It was, Genesis was obviously, but it's got no words in it. But Here Comes the Sun, obviously, cover track. Obviously, it has a double meaning of Here Comes the Sun and Here Comes the Sun, as in the Son of Satan, but that's really not enough to make an episode on, so they decided to go this way instead. Before I start, I'd like to thank every single person that's supported the show week by week, everyone who's followed me on social media, everyone who's been asking to be guests and supporting me when I was stressing and feeling low. Thank you so much, guys. I really, really appreciate all of your support. And I really, really appreciate the understanding that I'm going to be taking about a month off in between Opus and Infestissimum, because I want to give you guys the best possible podcast I can. If you don't already follow us on social media, we can be found on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all under the tag @GospelOfGhost. If you do follow me, I'd love to hear your theories about the show. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy the season finale of what I'm calling Book 1 of the Gospel of Ghost. Let's get started. Our tale begins with a man who has no name in a society ruled by those who claim to be the men of God. Oppressed and broken-spirited, the church has a solid rule, and all those in the land must follow for fear of punishment, not just in this life, but the next. This man, however, is no normal man. In every form of unwanted rule, there will always be that one that sparks change, whether through action or words or a combination of both. All it takes is that person to reach a breaking point, which we arrive at now. Disillusioned by the actions of the church and the treatment of his fellow citizens, our no-named man begins his research. Under the cover of darkness he reads. He reads the texts prohibited by the church, texts that talk of other deities and historic events that could potentially influence the population. He begins to do what all oppressive rulers fear. He begins to learn. On one fateful night, this man is in the library, candle by his side and door firmly jammed so as to avoid detection. He glances upon a book of forgotten history, and in this book are the details of one Elizabeth Bathory, the Blood Countess. Drawn to this name, the man delves further into her history. An evil woman, yes, but one who was not shackled by the chains of God. Instead, she was set free by the hands of Satan, whom she'd struck a deal with. Our man's mind begins to wander. How is it that the perceived evil one is allowing the freedom humanity deserves, while the divine justice of God snuffs it out? He continues to read. Weeks pass as he learns more and more about Elizabeth, detailing her time in power, and more importantly, her rituals concerning eternal youth. He becomes obsessed with the idea. If he can show the population the power of another god, maybe, just maybe, they will see sense and turn from their oppressors and rise up against them. With the power of conviction and justice on his side, he does what must be done. To emulate his heroine, he must bathe in a virgin's blood. The man takes to the streets, silhouetted by street lamps, knife in hand. The first victim of a religious war. He succeeds. He bathes. And out of the tub of blood rises not a man with no name, but a father to all of humanity. Papa. Months pass. Papa, now knowledgeable with the rituals of Satan and the determination to destroy, has spread his word. Not in public, not quite yet. He is no match for the church this time. He approached those that were similarly disillusioned but did not quite have the bravery to lead with his new view of life. They accept his teachings, donning masks of demons and departing the church like ghouls in the night. With his small group of supporters, Papa takes to the streets. While he is a learned man, he is young and naive and convinced that, since he has some supporters, the rest of the population will follow. He preaches to the crowd in a courtyard, disguised by paint and surrounded by figures and masks. The people, brainwashed too heavily to listen, shout the group down, pelting them with whatever is at hand. The group is forced back into hiding, forcing an alternative plan to be made. A change of seasons, a passage in time. The clergy have continued to grow at a slow pace, developing a cult following amongst the stray sheep they can capture the imagination of. With their help, a place to hold their sermons is constructed, hidden from the rest of society. A gothic, white marble structure that is grayed from the dirt of the smoke of the fires that light it. A chapel of ritual. And in this chapel of ritual, the plan is formed and the path forward discovered. If Papa himself could not bring down the church, he would enlist the help of the one he worshipped. By bringing forth the Antichrist, this would give Satan a vessel to walk the earth and convert the masses. A plethora of sacrilegious acts take place in this location, with bodies writhing in bold sexual defiance of God. As Papa shares his revelation with the clergy, they come together to celebrate the beginning of the end. While this is taking place, the church is continuing their domination of the masses above. Taking advantage of their position and a stance against the population of women in particular, they enact to start burning those they perceive as witches, guilty of naught but refusing to fully comply. Papa hears word of this, and, sensing a pivotal moment in his war on God, decides to come to the aid of those in need. And with good timing. The church has in their clutches a woman that will play a vital role in future plans, one so far from God and his ideals that one could say she was even in love with the Dark One himself. Her mortal name lost to time, she would be known as Lilith from this day forth. Striking a blow upon the church, the clergy celebrates their success with their biggest congregation yet. With the word of their kindness and acceptance towards all spreading, the clergy's numbers grow dramatically. The church become aware of this growing power amongst their people. However, with the influence and secretive nature of the clergy and their followers, they can do nothing but hammer their message of God harder and harder onto the people in hopes of stopping the sway. Sensing the time is now, Papa enacts his final plan. With Lilith on his side and a devout following, the Antichrist is conceived. A chill descends across the land, the populace shivers in unison, and across the entirety of the world, a death knell can be heard. Weeks later, a woman runs through a courtyard, rain falling from the black sky that is briefly lit up with lightning to reveal her heavy cloak and disguise. The woman, Lilith, pregnant with the son of Satan and bringer of destruction, is in hiding from the church, who still outnumber and overpower the clergy. Her will being tested, her resolve must be strong as the prime mover in the machine of destruction. She runs. And that's it for the season finale of The Gospel of Ghost. I really hope you enjoyed that, guys. Any feedback on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook would be much appreciated. As I said, at Gospel of Ghost. So please, guys, take care of yourselves. I'll see you in about a month. Hail Satan.